will touch you, Marcella Walcott, but that's a long way down the road. So it's better to get used to the way things are done now. Are you finished?
I shake my head.
No, I have to rinse my hair. Hurry up then. I'm tired and I need you to fall asleep before I do.
He opens the glass shower door, grabs a towel off the rack, wraps it around his waist, and then walks out of the bathroom. What do I think of this new development? He can't touch me, but he can use other things to touch me. Yes, this could get interesting very quickly. Smith, I think, as I rinse my hair. He's not really what I expected. I expected the asshole he's shown me he can be. The one who creeps around, breaks into my house, makes himself a key, and changes my alarm code. But this no-touching stuff? Why? And then to demonstrate how nice it can be by shaving my legs? Again, why?
Chella, he calls from the bedroom. I'm fucking tired, hurry up.
What will he do now? Will he sleep next to me? How can he? If he can't touch me, surely he won't get in the same bed with me. I turn the water off and step out, dry myself off with a towel, then wrap it around my hair and walk out into the bedroom naked. He's sitting in a chair, his back to the window. His usually slicked back, dark hair is all tousled and wet. A few pieces of it fall over his eyes in long, soft curls. He's not wearing a shirt, but he does have on a pair of sweats, the waistband tugged below his huge balls, and his hand is on his cock, stroking himself slowly as he watches me watch him masturbate.
If you think I'm not gonna jerk off to you every chance I get, you're insane.
And me? I ask, unable to stop looking at his hand on his cock.
I sincerely hope you do the same. I'll be very disappointed if I watch you tonight and you don't put on a show.
So this is how it is. My time with Smith will be nothing but self-pleasure.
No, that's not all it is. It will be self-pleasure while he watches me. Put on the lingerie, take that towel off your head, and get in bed, Chella. Lights are going out in 2 minutes.
He's serious about the 2 minutes thing. I'm still messing with the alarm on my phone when he reaches over to the lamp next to his chair and flicks it off. There's a little bit of light from the street lamps outside, but he's all shadow. I can't see you, I whisper.
You don't need to, he replies. I can see you, and that's all that matters.
Will you get in bed later, or will you leave?
I won't leave, he says, but I won't sleep with you either. It's too much.
Too much trouble?
Too much temptation. Now, tell me what you think of the game so far.
I smile up at the patterns of light on the ceiling. I think it might be fun.
Come for me, Chella. Come for me, and I'll come for you.
We do that. I have my hand between my legs. My breathing is rapid as I try to create enough friction to orgasm. But in the end, it's not my hand that gets me off. It's him, from across the room. It's Smith's heavy breathing, his moans, his groans. And when we come together, I get it. I understand what they're trying to tell me with this rule. We are all responsible for our own happiness. I don't need him to make me happy. He doesn't need me to make him happy. We make each other happy, and we do that by making ourselves happy. I fall asleep, a deep, deep sleep. 1 second I'm awake, and then I'm out.
Chella.
Smith is talking to me. I know this, but I can't seem to make my eyes open.
Chella, come on. We're having an early breakfast, remember? I already picked out your clothes. They're hanging in the closet.
I turn over to see him standing in front of the window, looping his tie into a knot at his throat. He's wearing a dark blue suit. You're dressed? I ask, still groggy. Where did you get that suit?
I brought some things over yesterday. Figured it would save me time.
It's like he moved in.
Get up. I'd slap your ass really hard for keeping me waiting if I had a different rule, but then I'd just fuck you afterwards and we'd be late anyway.
I have to stop and picture that for a moment. Wait, I say. What do you mean, if you had a different rule? First one to spend the night doesn't get to touch you, he says, slipping on his suit coat. It's too easy to get attached the first night, and we've done this enough to know it never works out if we don't each get an even chance. You have 10 minutes to get ready, so get the fuck up. What was your rule last time, with Rochelle? I ask, my mind spinning with this new revelation.
None of your business. 9 minutes, 50 seconds, Chella. Quinn and Brick have both already called. They want a report, so let's go.
I swing my legs out and sit on the side of the bed for a moment. Smith is already hopping down the stairs, calling,
No time for coffee. We'll get it at the White Room. And don't bother putting makeup on. Brick only likes makeup at night.
I sit there for a few more seconds, trying to get a grip on this new development. Taking turns isn't really a game, is it? It's a lifestyle. The outfit Smith chose for me is mine, but not something I normally wear. A white sleeveless shift dress that has a low scoop back so I can't wear a bra. I have no underwear on at all. Somehow he managed to find an old pair of white Calvin Klein knee-high leather boots and a black swing coat I bought when I was 20 and thought they were cute. Smith hands me a hair tie when I come downstairs and says,
Put it up in a ponytail, high on your head.
I gather my thick, dark hair in my hands and then pull the tie through, hiking the ponytail high up on my head like he asked, until my face feels tight. I feel like a majorette right now.
You look like a go-go dancer.
Well, I laugh, that makes everything better.
Here, put on the sunglasses.
I take the round, white, Jackie O sunglasses from his hand and shake my head. What's with this costume?
Quinn's dramatic. He likes this shit, trust me. Just watch his eyes during breakfast.
Am I the butt of a joke?
No, he says quickly. I'm just trying to help him out. Move on, you know? He needs to. I don't want to talk about that last girl. Not at all. But he will want to, Chella. And you should not encourage it. He has to let it go.
What's his rule? Is that it? He's not allowed to dwell in the past?
No, Smith says, pointing at the front door. Come on, let's go. We're so fucking late.
The car is waiting outside and the driver doesn't get out to open the door. Smith opens it instead, and we slide in. His phone rings. He takes the call, and then proceeds to have a conversation about things that have nothing to do with me or this arrangement. Business, I suppose. But as soon as we get to Turning Point Club, he ends the call and takes my hand. No touching, I say, pulling it away.
Rules don't apply during meetings. Just wait. I've got something fun planned.
Oh, I feel a little heat between my legs. The lobby is crowded, and everyone turns to look at us as we enter. Smith doesn't talk to anyone. Not the valets, not the coat check girl, not the maitre d'. He keeps hold of my hand and leads me into the White Room, past all the gawking people already eating, and towards the back of the restaurant where Quinn and Brick are sitting at a private elevated table, surrounded by so many gigantic flower arrangements, I can barely make them out. Brick sees us first and stands up, smiling. It takes Quinn a few seconds to stand up, but he does, half-heartedly, and doesn't send me a smile. He does notice the outfit when Brick offers to help me with my coat, just like Smith predicted. Smith pulls out a chair for me. I sit, and then they do too.
You're late, Quinn says. Cereal?
Smith says, looking across the table at Quinn's choice of breakfast food.
What are you, 14?
Quinn doesn't look up, just starts shoveling cornflakes in his mouth.
Did you have a nice night, Chella?
Brooke asks, ignoring everything going on between Smith and Quinn. I open my mouth to reply, but Smith beats me to it.
Chella has nightmares.
What? I ask him, looking at him. I don't have nightmares.
She walks in her sleep.
I do not. Why are you saying that?
And she plays with herself all night long. Her hand never stopped.
You're lying.
No, I'm not,
Smith says, hint of annoyance in his voice.
How would you know anyway? Were you awake? Because I was.
I let out a long sigh as I turn away and look at Brick.
Do you have nightmares?
He asks. No, I say.
She's lying. But anyway, it was a good night. I fingered her and kissed her before we discussed the rules. Afterward, it was strictly hands off.
We're having a play-by-play? I ask, completely embarrassed.
It's okay, Chella, Brick says in his calm, authoritative voice. We don't normally know, but we have to make sure everything is proceeding well the first week. It's a critical time. She comes so fucking fast, you guys, Smith says, a new playfulness in his voice I haven't heard yet. Demonstration?
And then Smith's hand is between my legs, his fingertips playing with my clit. I'm watching Quinn concentrate on his cereal as this happens, but he looks up from the cornflakes and his eyes meet mine. He smiles, sits back, drops his spoon, picks up his napkin, and reaches under the tablecloth to... I look around nervously.
Don't worry, Rick says. No one can see. Just relax.
And then he grabs his napkin and hides his hand under the tablecloth, too. His eyes go half-mast as Smith continues to stimulate me. Smith's warm breath caresses the back of my bare neck.
Close your eyes, Chella. Enjoy it. I won't be touching you again for a long time.
I do. I close my eyes, but I want to participate as well. So I reach down between my legs and place my hand over Smith's, helping him get me off. He's kissing my neck, biting my ear, and I want to feel his cock inside me so bad I reach over and grab him, stroke him. He chuckles softly. When I look at Quinn, he mouths the words, "You're a dirty fucking whore." I feel like a dirty fucking whore, so I don't even care. I just lick my lips and smile. Smith pulls his fingers out of my pussy and brings them to my lips.
Suck them, Chella, he says. Suck them like you want to suck my cock, and get yourself off at the same time.
I let him put his fingers in my mouth and I suck. I imagine what his cock would feel like. I imagine swallowing his cum as I play with myself under the perfectly crisp white linen tablecloth until I can't stand it anymore. Until my body wants to writhe. Until I want to rub my pussy on something, anything, and I come. Both Brick and Quinn come into their napkins. Quinn clenches his jaw and closes his eyes as it happens. Brick stares at me, and I stare back. We are all breathing hard at the table, even Smith, who didn't come. But I realize I'm still gripping his cock in my hand. I look at him, slightly embarrassed, and let go. But he just gives me a lopsided grin.
I can't see you tonight, he says. I'm sorry.
Oh, I say, pulling myself back together. I look around nervously. This experience was so intense, I forgot I was in a restaurant. But Brick was right. No one can see us. We have a very private oasis in a very public place.
But I'll send a car to take you home after work, and Quinn will see you on Monday. Make sure you're back here by midnight Sunday, just in case he wants to visit early. You'll be okay, right?
Of course, I say. Of course. I'm a big girl. I know how to live alone. But it's the worst weekend of my life. It is long and boring, and I rub myself raw because I spend almost the whole time masturbating to the thought of Smith fucking me.
Chapter 13, Quinn. It's deja vu all over again as I enter the apartment on the sixth floor of Turning Point.
Until it's not. Until the fact that this is not Rochelle's apartment anymore hits me in the chest like a fucking brick. Gone are all her quirky pieces of furniture. Gone are the long, heavy drapes. Gone are the pictures of the four of us on the fridge. Gone is her exotic scent. Gone are her vases filled with fresh flowers and the never-ending throw pillows. Everything about her is gone. Except the memories. Chella is sitting on the new couch, some modern piece of shit thing that Smith probably picked out. It's leather and white, In fact, everything is black and white up here, just like it is downstairs. She stares at me as I toss the keys onto a new foyer table, and they go sliding off and onto the dark hardwood floor, because gone is the little green glass dish that used to catch them.
"I didn't think you were coming tonight," she says.
She's wearing a white nightie that ends at her hip bones and a matching pair of panties. She makes no move to get up and greet me like Rochelle would have. She keeps her long legs tucked under her slim body and stares at the bags of food in my hand. "I wasn't coming, but Smith called me 45 minutes ago and said he didn't have the apartment stocked with food and never told you about the room service, so I hold up the bags. I didn't know what you liked, so I figured this is as good a place to start as any." She continues to stare at me, or maybe it's the food, as I walk past her and place it all on the dining table. It's just a small four-seater table, just enough room for all the players to eat together, as if that would ever happen up here. "I got McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, and Chick-fil-A." She smiles, but then tries to hide it as she gets to her feet and walks over to me.
"I'm impressed, Quinn. For a while there, I thought you'd be mean to me. But fast food at 1 a.m.? You really know how to treat a girl. You must love me already."
She's joking. She's insulting me. And she's doing a good job at all of it, because every word comes out sweet and innocent. I actually feel bad about the fast food. "If you want to go somewhere nice tomorrow, we can."
"I want what you want, Quinn."
She peeks into the McDonald's bag and smiles.
"And even though you probably chose the Filet-O-Fish because no one likes them, I love the fish sandwich. So you lose and I win."
"I did pick the Filet-O-Fish because no one likes them. Bitch." She sits on the table next to the bags of cheap food and starts eating a French fry. Her long legs cross and scissor together, like she's stimulating herself. "So," I say.
"So,"
she says, unwrapping her fish sandwich and taking a bite.
"What's your rule?"
she asks, her mouth full as she chews.
"I hope it's to fuck me sideways because I'm horny."
I smile at her, then laugh.
"That's not my rule." "God damn it."
"My rule is to learn something about you and tell you something about me."
"Who makes these rules?" she asks. "Who enters a plural relationship with stupid rules like no fucking and more talking?"
I laugh again. Maybe she's not half bad after all. At the very least, I might enjoy her company.
"Which one do you like?"
Chella asks, pointing to the bags of food.
"If you tell me that, we can knock your stupid rule off our to-do list and spend the rest of our time having sex."
"Yeah, I could like her." I point to the Wendy's bag. "I got me a triple hamburger."
"Oh, I'm going to like you a lot, Quinn. We're going to get along just fine, I know it."
I sigh, sit at the table so she's across from me and take out my burger.
"Sorry,"
I say. "I've been a dick to you, and you don't deserve it."
"I do deserve it,"
she says, eyes downcast. But she looks up at me for the next part.
"I tricked you, and I'm sorry, too. I know I already told you that, but I mean it. It wasn't nice, and you got hurt. I'm not here to hurt you, I swear."
I know I shouldn't ask. I can hear Smith's words in my head warning me to leave it alone, but I have to. I have to hear it from her. I need closure.
"Why are you here, Marcella?"
She finishes chewing her food, gets up to get us two glasses of water from the kitchen, and then takes a long drink before answering.
"Smith said not to encourage you, but I don't care. I'm going to tell you how it happened. Okay?"
"Do you know where she is?"
I ask. "Praying, praying, praying." "No."
I hate my life. "Do you know why she left?"
"No,"
she says again.
I promise. I don't know either of those things. And if I did, I'd tell you. But I've been thinking about this for a week now, and I have some idea of why she chose me.
I nod and frown. I shouldn't let her tell me. I should drop it, wish Rochelle good luck in my head, and then leave her behind like the baggage she is. But I can't. I just can't.
I think she set me up.
I stop my pity party and look at her. What do you mean? How? She tells me a story about a book in a used bookstore down on the 16th Street Mall, and I start to feel sick. She tells me about how she bought it, how much she paid for it, and what it means to her. I slump in my chair, feeling defeated and alone. She tells me about how they became friends and how Chella used to go watch her play in small venues every Sunday night. And then she tells me about the offer, about what Rochelle told her about me.
She said she loved you and that it was never going to work out.
She said that? I ask. She said love. Chella nods.
Love, Quinn. But she told me that you couldn't, or wouldn't, say it back. That you guys had no future and she needed to leave or Brick would find out and he'd make her leave. She wanted to end it on her own terms.
I knew it. I knew it was because of that time she broke the cardinal rule. Did you tell this story to Smith? I ask.
No,
Chella says.
Smith doesn't want to talk about her at all. He won't say her name anymore. But before we go on, that's what she told me, Quinn. Not what I think really happened.
What do you mean? I ask.
I think that was her lie to me, you know? To get me to think. I don't know.
She stops talking and resumes eating. No, I say. Keep going, finish that thought. She chews her food, swallows.
I think something else was happening that she didn't want to tell me. I have always thought that since we first started talking about it. But I didn't want to ruin my chances at the game, right? So I just pretended to believe her.
What do you think was happening? I ask. Even if you don't know for sure, just tell me what you think.
Something big, she says. Something very stressful and life-altering? Maybe someone died?
She offers.
Big like that.
Who would have died? I mumble, talking to myself.
I don't know. But she was sad, I will say that. She was very sad. On the inside. She never said anything and she always had a smile, but I recognized it.
Chella stops for a moment, looking out the window for a few seconds.
I know sadness, so I recognized it.
I don't know what to say to that. Any of it. Both Rochelle's sadness and Chella's. So I change the subject. Do you still have the book? I ask. I wrote something in there for her. I'd like it back if you have it. I'll pay you for it. Chella gets up and goes into her new bedroom. Comes back with a box and places it on the table in front of me. She opens the box and unwraps the book from vintage linens that remind me so strongly of Rochelle my throat begins to ache.
It's yours,
she says.
It's a gift. I don't need the money.
I want to touch that book so bad. I want to pick it up and hold it to my heart and hug it the way I wish I could hug Rochelle right now. But I close the box back up and push it away with one finger. Like it's poison. Because it is poison. If I take this book, if I allow myself to keep it, then I will write the end of this new story before we even get past the beginning. I will doom the new game of taking turns to failure. And maybe I don't care all that much for Chella. But Brick likes her. Smith likes her. And they both gave me what I wanted by continuing the game with Rochelle. They gave me 3 years of happiness with her. I owe them a fair chance, at least. I owe them this much. No, I say, trying to hide the deep sadness coursing through my body. I don't want it. I expect Chella to ask more questions. I expect some persuasion from her, urging me to keep it, hide it away if I don't want to look at it. I hope for this conversation because I hope she will talk me into staying in the past. Give me the excuse I'm looking for. But she doesn't. Chella nods, picks up the box, and takes it back to her new room. I close my eyes and breathe through the pain and the loss and the regrets. I fucked up. All of this is my fault. Because I fucked up.
Chapter 14. Chella. When I come back out of the bedroom, Quinn is sitting on the new leather couch looking sad. He slouched down, legs open in kind of a sexy way. But his face, one look at his face and I know the last thing on his mind is having sex with me. I sit down next to him. Is there anything I can do? It takes a few seconds for him to look at me, and then it's just a quick glance before he looks straight ahead again.
I don't think so, Chella. I think I loved her.
I want to keep saying sorry over and over and over again, but it's stupid. It's probably annoying and it won't help, so I stay quiet. I wrap my hands around his upper arm, lean my head on his shoulder, and stay quiet. Right now, we are just two friends being sad together.
Say something, Quinn finally says.
I don't know how to help you. I don't know you well enough to make you feel better, and there's really nothing I can say except, I hope you find her again.
I was really counting on you having answers.
Shit.
I really thought it was some fucked up joke, or you'd tell me it was just temporary. Or she'd call me, but that's not what's happening, is it?
No, I say softly. I don't think so. He shrinks in that moment, folding into himself, trying to escape reality. We can be friends, though, Quinn. I'm not trying to take her place. He reaches over for me. His large hand comes down on my ass cheek, and he pulls me on top of him until I'm straddling his legs, my hands on his shoulders.
If I don't fuck you, who will?
I laugh a little, thinking, Brick? But I don't say it. It seems impolite to say it.
You know what I just figured out? Quinn asks.
What? I say, looking down at him. He stares straight past my shoulder, looking at some apparition of the girl he loves and lost.
We're going to be spending the most time together. Your days off work belong to me. I'm sure Smith planned it that way to make me stop thinking about Rochelle.
I try to fit this new information into my current worldview of what's happening in this relationship. But there's missing information, or I'm not quite understanding, or whatever. Because I have to ask, what do you mean?
You know, Smith can't touch you unless...
But he stops.
You didn't get that far yet, so I can't say. But I can fuck you. Any way I want, any time I want. Because I'm number two this time. I get all of you, you get all of me. We have to talk and build a real relationship by getting to know each other. He did it on purpose, because I was number one last time and things...
He stops, but I'm dying to know more. Things... What, Quinn?
It's just so easy to get attached to number one, you know?
Sorta, I say. I can see it a little bit. It was so confusing on Friday night, and then Smith took me home and took over... Took control, I guess. Quinn laughs. I even get a small smile at that assessment, so I keep going. He made a house key, and he changed my alarm code. It's like he moved himself in.
We're not supposed to talk about what you do with them, Quinn says. But tell me what happened next. I really need this distraction, and I've always wondered how the other guys handled being number one. Because obviously, I fucked it all up.
What do you mean? I'm so confused.
What did he do then?
He had champagne ready. He kissed me, fingered me.
He got you all wound up, and then he told you the rule, didn't he?
Yeah, but we took a shower together, and he shaved my legs. That was interesting. And then we masturbated in front of each other.
Classic Smith.
Quinn lets out a small laugh that has nothing to do with happiness.
The reason he's not allowed to touch you is because if he did, he'd have this claim on you as number one. And we try to avoid things like that. It makes it hard to have a real plural relationship.
So that's what you're all after? The four of us as one unit, I guess?
Yeah.
Quinn looks at me, finally. His hands start rubbing my thighs, and I'm so fucking horny after being neglected by Smith this weekend.
We don't find that very often, and obviously we never had a real one with Rochelle. I liked her a lot. Rick liked her okay, but Smith never liked her. That's why he was number two last time.
Uh-huh. I got that answer anyway, so fuck you, Smith Baldwin.
Next week, I'll tell you more, if you're still confused after Brick explains the rest of it.
I'm dying to know what Brick's rule is. In fact, everything about this new life I've started with the three of them is fascinating. How old are you? I ask.
34. You?
He's still looking at me. His hands are still rubbing my thighs. Every now and then, one will creep up my ass cheek. 30, I say. But I'll be 31 in February.
Can I ask you something?
Sure, I say. That's our rule, right? Get to know each other.
Why the fuck would you agree to something like this? I mean, you're very pretty, Chella. You're smart, and you have a good job, and you come from serious money and power. You don't need anything from us. You don't need Brick's promise of a dream come true, so why the fuck are you doing this?
I shrug. I'm not ready to talk about all the things in my head, or my past, or where my life is going. When Rochelle told me about you guys, I was enthralled.
The book? Quinn asks. You obviously know what that book is, and she picked you because you bought it, didn't she?
Well, I say, so much for hiding my true motive.
Why do you want to hide it?
Come on, Quinn, I laugh. I realize you guys have been doing this for a long time, but it's still not normal.
Oh, he says, but his hands have been getting more and more active over the past few minutes.
He's got my thong pulled aside, and his fingers are probing at the wetness between my legs, dragging it up and over the entrance to my asshole. I have to close my eyes when he inserts his finger just a tiny fraction.
Do you like it in the ass?
He whispers. I bite my lip, don't open my eyes, and nod my head. Yes, I do.
Do you want to see my cock?
He asks, pulling a long strand of hair away from my face and tucking it behind my ear.
Do you want to suck it, and sit on it, and fuck me until you come all over my dick?
I am panting with want. I am swimming in want. I will die of the longing. Yes, I say.
Take off my jacket.
I open my eyes, draw in a deep breath, and start undressing him. Underneath my pussy, I can feel his cock growing through his pants. Once I get the suit coat off, he says,
Loosen my tie. Take it off me. Put it around your head and make it into a blindfold.
His finger slips deeper into my asshole as he says this, making me squirm and gasp.
Do it. He gently urges.
I loosen the tie, slip it over his neck, and place it over my head, pulling it tight again when it's over my eyes.
That's better, Quinn says. Now take off my shirt.
My fingers reach for his chest, feel for the buttons. They slide up to the top one and begin to unbutton. When I get to the waistband of his trousers,
I pull the shirt out. I caress the soft hair that leads down to his hard cock.
Don't touch it yet, Marcella Walcott. Not until I say so, understand?
I nod. Yes. I unbutton the last two buttons, and then take a deep breath as I slip the shirt down his shoulders. I can't stop myself from feeling his muscles. I have a thing for shoulders, and even though I'm blind, I can see them perfectly in my mind's eye, just from the light flicker of contact I have through my fingertips.
Sit up, Quinn says. Unzip my pants. Take out my cock and my balls, and then put me inside you.
His fingers are there the instant I rise up on his lap. I have to press my lips together to stifle the moan, but it still escapes.
Do you like that?
Quinn whispers as he puts his fingers inside me. Yes, I say.
You know what I like, Cella?
What? I ask, busy completing the task he gave me. His cock is thick, like Smith's, and long and hard, and his tip is swollen when I drag my fingers across the slit, releasing the liquid I can't wait to suck.
I like all your answers tonight.
And then he chuckles, like he's happy. I reach up with one, the other one still busy cupping his balls, and feel his smile. I just want to make you happy, Quinn.
You are, Cella. You're making so many things better tonight. Now fuck me, baby. Slide down on top of my cock and fuck me until you come all over it.
I ease up, my hands sliding his tip to my entrance, and I am so fucking wet. I turn myself on when I play with my clit.
Sit down.
He wants this as much as I do. This turns me on even more, so I do what he says. I sit on his cock and then sink down, letting him fill me up. As soon as he's inside me, his palms cup my face and he kisses my mouth. So softly, so tenderly that instead of the desperate writhing I imagined, I move slowly and deliberately and carefully.
I like that, he says, his words deep and throaty. Keep going. Just like that, Cella. Make me forget. Make me happy. Make me want this new future more than I want my old past.
I kiss him back, our tongues slowly getting to know each other, my hands on his chest, then his shoulders, feeling the curves, the hills and valleys of his biceps. I dig my nails into his back. He's still holding my face, but his hands wander down to my arms as well. And then they push me back, just a little, just enough so he can squeeze my breasts. We move together like lovers, like long-time lovers, and I can't help but wonder, if it feels so good this time, then how much better will it be next week, next month, next year?
Come, he commands. Come first, and then I'd like to fuck you hard.
I start moving faster, more urgently, trying to stimulate my clit and obey his command. But I don't have to try too hard or for too long, because his fingers are right there, right where I need the friction most. The moans coming from my mouth are so sensual, so erotic and filthy. I wish I was recording them so I could play them for Smith, and we could masturbate to the sound of my orgasm with Quinn. When I'm done, and I'm feeling spent, and I need to just rest my head on his chest for a moment, he stands up, walks me over to the window, and fucks me just the way he promised. Hard. We get in that new bed together. We break it in, and we have sex 3 more times. I don't even have time for nightmares and sleepwalking. By the time we fall asleep, a new day is starting. Our bodies are tangled together like we're a couple, even though we're not meant to be a couple. He holds me tight, one hand on my breasts as his chest spoons my back, the other between my legs, like he's making a statement of ownership. We sleep until early afternoon, and I wake to him tracing a circle around my bunched up nipple.
Do you like this apartment?
He asks as soon as I open my eyes. His hair is messy and perfect at the same time. I see his shoulders in the filtered light coming in from outside. You're fucking handsome, you know that? Quinn smiles big at that. Thank you, he says, like he knows how to take a compliment. But do you like this place, Chella? Because it's kind of cold and impersonal, if you ask me, and I want you to like it. I shrug and smile. I don't care about the apartment, but no, it's not really homey, right? Good, Quinn says, leaning down to kiss my mouth. Good. We should go shopping and change that.
Chapter 15. Brick. Wednesday morning at 12.05 a.m., I call her. She picks up on the third ring. Hello? Chella, I say. How are you? Brick? She gives me a small laugh into the phone. I'm good. Where are you? Are you coming tonight? No, I say. I like to come in the mornings, but I wanted to call and make sure everything is going how you imagined it. I'm not complaining. Good. I hesitate. I don't know what else to say, but I don't feel like hanging up. We could talk about your rule. I smile at that. Not yet. Tomorrow, when I see you in person. I have a lot of parties coming up for Christmas and New Year's, so I'm having some dresses delivered tomorrow. Wear the black one tomorrow night and the red one on Thursday night. They're my favorites. We're going out? I can't tell if she's excited about that or not. Yes. I like to go out a lot when I'm number three. I'll explain that later. Okay, she laughs. But everything is all right? You're fine with Smith? And your time with Quinn was fun? Yes, she says. Are we supposed to talk about that stuff? As number one, Smith was in charge of the first report. As number three, I'm in charge of the last one. We won't talk about it again after this week, but if anything goes wrong, you can come to me and I'll take care of it. That's part of my role. Okay, she says. So what time will you be here tomorrow? I'll pick you up at 7. A.M.? No, I laugh. P.M., just before the party. We'll have dinner downstairs with Smith and Quinn, the wrap-up meeting, and then we'll go to the party and have a good time. How's that sound? Sounds like I'll have a lot of time to wonder about you before you get here. She tries to stifle a yawn, but doesn't succeed. You're tired, I say into the phone. Get some sleep and we'll talk more tomorrow. Okay, she says. Good night. Good night, Chella. Smith is grinning at me when I end the call. What? I ask, annoyed about him being here. Nothing, he says. But he changes his mind about that answer quick enough. She's gonna do it. I know she will. You hope she will, I say. I'll give her 2 more weeks, but honestly, I think she'll be up for it sooner. I say. Are we up for it? Fuck, Smith laughs. After 3 years of that stupid Rochelle, hell yes, we're up for it. Don't you miss it? Because Jesus, fuck, I do. I miss it. I want it again. You're the only one who didn't like Rochelle, I say. You're the one who fucked it up. It was your fault it never worked the way we planned. He hesitates for a moment, and I wait to see if he'll tell me something more, explain himself, why he did what he did. But he doesn't. He just says, well, this one will work the way we planned, so I'll see you tomorrow night, and I cannot fucking wait to see the look on her face when you explain your rule. Smith gets up and walks out of the private bar overlooking the black room. It's busy downstairs tonight, but he doesn't go down there. Just waits for the elevator, and when it comes, he disappears inside. A waiter comes up the stairs and talks to the sentry. They both look at me, and I nod when I see the slip of paper in his hand. The sentry places it on the table in front of me, and I open it. Lucinda wants to meet with me. I look over the railing and find her downstairs with her husband. She's smiling up at me, hoping, but I shake my head no. Sorry, love, I'm not in the mood, that answer says. She frowns, then leans into her husband's ear to whisper. 10 minutes later, they are gone. Good. I saw enough of her last weekend to last me a lifetime. She's not that interesting. Boring is the word I'd use for Lucinda. But Marcella Walcott, now that woman has potential. And if Smith is right, things will get very interesting very soon. Wednesday goes very, very slowly at the club. Christmas is all anyone is thinking about now. December has traditionally been a slow month for Turning Point Club, and this year it's no different. The breakfast crowd is always busy. People work. Even on Christmas Eve, the people who come here work. They are A-types, addicted to the thrill of success, like me, like Smith, like Quinn. And they like to start their day with some friendly networking. Yes, Turning Point is a sex club. We have an exclusive membership. If you have to ask how to become a member, you will never become a member. It's by invitation only, and we only accept a new member when another member quits. That doesn't happen often. Fathers pass this little perk on to sons. In fact, Turning Point Club membership is a very popular wedding gift in my world. The real club is down on the lower levels, but the White Room is open to the public and filled to capacity for dinner Monday through Thursday, if you're lucky enough to get a reservation. And since we have 42 active club members who eat here regularly with their families, mistresses, business associates, etc., it's not easy to get one of those. The Black Room is not open to the public, even though it's right across the main lobby. Members only in the bar. A little peek into the forbidden for the masses. Not much happens in there. Just bar stuff. Drinking, food, laughing, informal parties, shit like that. But it intrigues people. No one knows what we do. Only the members know. Hell, Rochelle never even knew. She never made it downstairs. Smith was done with her long before she ever thought to ask about it. But Chella? Chella is a maybe. I know Smith thinks he's got her pinned. He understands why she went along with Rochelle's setup, but I'm not convinced she'll go that far. I need tonight to feel her out a little more. Give her my rule, and then the final rule. Her reaction to that is what drives me, drives all three of us. Smith is right, I guess. Rochelle should have been let go a long time ago. I miss what we never had with her. Everyone in the club has a monthly health screen, even though we do insist on condoms. Everyone has a biannual appointment with the club psychiatrist, just to make sure we nip any crazy in the bud, and everyone follows the rules. So Turning Point is a place for members to be among friends, and breakfast is a time when friends get together. But lunch is another matter. Lunch today was dead. I was bored out of my mind, counting down the hours until dinner. Quinn shows up after work and joins me upstairs in Smith's bar. Hey, he says, sliding into the chair across from me and pointing at the bartender to bring him a drink. What time will you bring her here? 7:15 or so, I say, sipping my drink. I want to ask him about his time with Chella, but I can't. Not until we're all together. Rules. Smith and his fucking rules. What do you think she's going to say? The bartender comes with Quinn's drink and he picks it up to sip while I consider his question. She only has two options, yes or no. I hate being number three, and this is the second fucking time I've gotten stuck with it. Maybe this arrangement isn't for me anymore. The question kind of surprises me. It was my idea in the first place. I'm the one who found the first six girls. I'm the one who helped perfect the rules. I'm the one who seemed to get the most out of it. But it doesn't feel that way anymore. It doesn't feel necessary anymore. Well, Quinn asks. What? Dude, what the hell is wrong with you? I asked you what you think she'll say. Smith says she'll say yes within 2 weeks. I think so too. It pisses me off that they know her well enough already that they can even form an opinion. I don't know her at all. I had one night out with her and it doesn't count. Tonight won't count either. We have to have the conversation about the rules, and then the party, and then... It's depressing. I lose either way. Number three is such a fucked up arrangement. Quinn talks about other shit until it's time for me to leave, but I just tune him out, finish my drink, and then walk down to the elevator and take it up to the top floor. I don't knock. I don't have to. I just walk in. The place looks completely different. "Hey," Marcella calls from the bedroom. "I'm ready, I swear." She giggles like she's having fun. Is she having fun already? What part of this is fun so far? I see you got some new furniture. Gone are the sleek couches I chose to replace the earthy thrift store look Rochelle had going on. It's been replaced with more classic traditional pieces. It looks very homey. Nuclear family, 2.2 kids kind of homey. "Yes," Chella says, peeking around the door of the bedroom as she fastens her earrings. "Quinn took me shopping. We picked out new stuff. You don't mind, do you?" "No," I say, looking around. "Kinda." "I didn't know what your style was. I guess I missed the mark." "No," she says, coming out of the bedroom. "It was fine. But given the choice," she laughs again. "I guess I prefer this. Normal stuff, you know? And Quinn is a shopper." I smile. Sort of. Normal stuff. I have so many questions about that seemingly innocent remark. "I'm excited," Chella says, grabbing her coat from the front closet. "I don't usually go to Christmas parties." I take her coat and drape it over my arm. She won't need it until after dinner. "No, why not?" "My dad, he's not a Christmas party guy." "What about your mom?" "She died 3 years ago." "Yeah, that's right," I say. "Fuck." "Sorry, I knew that. I should have known better than to ask. I'm so off my fucking game." "It's okay," she says, smiling as she drags a piece of hair off her face and tucks it behind her ear. "I'm over it." Over it. Normal. Yeah, I have a lot of questions for Chella Walcott. "Well, you look very pretty." And she does. The black dress fits her perfectly. The lace bodice is tight, her tits look fantastic all pushed up and perky, and her waist is tiny. I envision dancing with her tonight, placing my thumbs on her hips, my fingers splayed across her ass. The dress is long, touches the floor. I asked for this specific dress on this specific night for a reason, and that at least is going as planned. And then I notice the necklace, the choker, the collar. "What?" Chella asks. Her hand goes to her throat, to the collar I can't stop staring at. "Where did you get that?" "Smith gave it to me. That first night when he took me home, when he dressed me up, he put this jewelry on me." She raises her hand to show off the gold cuff bracelet, and then I notice the earrings that match. "I figured it needed a night out as much as I do." I don't like it. Rochelle was supposed to be eradicated before Chella got here. Gone, thrown out, given back to the world, and yet there is still something left of her. But if it makes Chella happy, it looks beautiful, Marcella, and so do you. "Thank you," she says, blushing pale pink. "I hope you're hungry." "I am. Quinn told me I have access to the kitchen anytime I want, but it's no fun eating alone, and I already did it twice today." I force a smile, and then I lie. "Sorry about that. The club was so busy today, I just couldn't get away." "I understand. I always get lonely on my days off work. And now that Matisse will be on display until March, well, I have 4 full days off a week. I feel lucky that you guys came along. My whole week is planned, it seems." "You like that?" I ask. "Yes," she says. "I like it." I give her a real smile for that answer. And as we take the elevator down to the second floor, I start to think that maybe, just maybe, Smith is right. Maybe this one will pull me back into the life. When we get off the elevator, Smith is in his usual chair, so I place Chella's hand on my arm, hand her coat off to a server to check downstairs with mine, and lead her up the short flight of stairs and towards the table overlooking the black room and the lobby. Smith and Quinn both stand up as we approach, and then Smith backs out and waves his hand at the chair to his left. I shoot Quinn a look, but he's too busy kissing Chella on the lips. They linger for a moment, and then he backs off, leaving Chella embarrassed as she looks at me. "It's okay," I say, motioning for her to take a seat next to Smith. He boxes her in with that seat because it's next to the railing that gives her a view down into the black room. Quinn takes the seat across from Chella, and I take the seat across from Smith. "Nice dress," Smith says, looking at me instead of my date. "Full length? Smart." "What?" Chella asks. Brick always tries to stop Smith's wandering hands, Quinn chuckles. "The dress is Brick's way of keeping Smith's fingers dry while we dine." Chella laughs. I don't. "Do we want to eat first or talk first?" "Let's talk," Smith says. "Okay," Chella agrees. "I'm dying to know what this is all about." "This is about the rules, love," Smith says. "Brick's rule and the final rule." Chella bites her lip as she looks at me in anticipation. "My rule," I say, "is, God, I hate being number three. I can't have sex with you unless Smith is watching." Chella's smile drops, like, immediately, and I get more satisfaction out of her disappointment than anything I can recall in recent memory. "What?" And then Smith makes his move, long dress be damned. His hand is in her lap, rubbing her thigh, fingers pressing down between her legs. She's looking down at it like it's a spider or a bug or a mouse. Something disgusting. "What are you doing? I thought your rule was no touching me." "And that's the final rule we need to discuss, Chella," Smith says. His smile's as dirty as his mind, filled with filthy fucking and hot sweaty bodies all twisted together in one bed. Arms and legs tangled together. Our hands all over her body as we fill up her pussy and her ass and her mouth all at the same time. When the four of us are all together, we have no rules.
Chapter 16. Chella. I am quiet for so long, Quinn reaches across the table and takes my hand, but Smith's fingers are trying to stimulate me under the table. He doesn't care about the fabric of my dress holding him back from what he wants. He simply lifts it up. Yards of expensive fabric pool into my lap as he finds what he's looking for. My pussy is wet, and in this moment, I hate myself. I hate that everything they are offering me is something I want. "Chella," Quinn says, squeezing my hand. But Smith has found what he's looking for, and I have to draw in a deep, deep breath so I don't close my eyes and moan. I concentrate on Brick instead. He gives me a weak smile.
"Are you okay?"
he asks. I push Smith's hand away, expecting a fight, but he retreats and pulls my dress back down again.
"What do you think?" Quinn asks. "Do you want to walk out?"
"You can," Brick says.
"You won't,"
Smith adds. I look down at the place setting in front of me. The china is classic white with a black stripe around the edge. The white linen napkin is folded like an envelope, just like the last time when Smith brought me here with Matisse. "As a test," he said. But this time there's writing underneath the envelope flap. Right on the napkin in bold black marker are the words, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you." I look at Smith, still lifting the cloth flap.
"Don't give me that look of doubt, Chella," Smith says.
He claims the message in his response. I was wrong the other night when I thought taking turns was a lifestyle. I was 100% wrong, because this is nothing but a game of one-upmanship between these three men using me as a pawn on the chessboard. Which of them can get the upper hand? Which rule will be their downfall? And which rule will make them winners?
"For fuck's sake, Chella," Quinn blurts. "Say something."
I clear my throat, and when I speak, my voice is small and weak. "You're playing with me. Like a toy."
"Like a toy," Smith repeats. "Yes, you're our toy."
"You can say no," Brick says. "Just get up and walk out, and we'll never bother you again."
"You like this?" I ask him. "You like the thought of Smith watching you? Watching us?"
We've been doing it so long, Marcella. I barely know he's there.
Liar, Smith laughs. He's lying. He gets off to it, Cella. He gets off to some pretty sick shit. I should know. I've seen him do it all downstairs.
I ignore Smith and concentrate on Brick. So you do like it? He shrugs.
I wouldn't let him watch if I didn't. And I wouldn't want to watch if I didn't like it.
I look at Smith. You, I understand. You're weird. You're a deviant. You're on the verge of being a predator. I just need to know where the rest of you fall in this. Are you like him? I ask Quinn, but motion to Smith.
Yeah, he says. I like it. I like being number two this time, I'm not gonna lie. I get to fuck you any way I want, and no one gets to be there but me. But I like being number one as well. And number three. And if you give it a chance, Cella, you'll like it too. I know you will because you're a dirty fucking whore.
Just like us, Brick says.
Smith laughs. I'm quiet again as I think things through. This time they stay quiet with me. All the noise from downstairs in the lobby and the black room disappears as I run the consequences of this game through my mind. Explain everything, I finally say. Tell me why you do this, why you do it this way. And if you lie to me, I look at Smith for this, I will walk out. I want to know the truth, and if you give me that, I'll think about it some more. But if you don't, if I get an inkling that you're manipulating me, I'll leave. I will, Smith Baldwin. I'll walk away from you and never look back.
Of course we're manipulating you, Brick says.
I'm confused for a moment, unsure if Brick is telling me to walk away or just stating the obvious.
We're manipulating each other too, he continues. Smith can't touch you. At all. Quinn gets anything he wants, as long as you become friends at the same time. And I only get you with Smith's permission. It's a fucked up game, Cella, but it works.
How? I ask. How the fuck does any of this make sense to you?
We're building trust, Cella, Quinn says. We trust each other to follow the rules, and if we all do that, if we all keep to the plan, we end up happy.
Together, Smith says. You're forgetting the final rule. There are no rules when we're all together.
You want to gangbang me? I laugh. I laugh because it's sick and dirty, and the fact that I'm thinking about it makes me...
The other night, Cella, Quinn continues. You said something like, who enters a plural relationship with rules like no fucking and more talking?
Smith laughs.
God, Cella, I kinda love you already.
Even Brick laughs.
She's fucking funny as hell, you guys, Quinn says. I can't wait for you to see it. But Cella, it's not a plural relationship. It's a menage.
That's not what Rochelle told me, she said.
We never got this far with Rochelle, Brick explains. She never liked Smith. They never became friends. She liked Quinn and me, and we were one and three, so we didn't need Smith. It was always off balance.
But I like you, Cella, Quinn says. I'm not gonna walk away from you like Smith walked away from Rochelle. I'm gonna show up every Sunday at midnight, and I'm gonna fuck you senseless until I have to leave. And then Brick will come, and you will let Smith watch.
And then one day, Cella,
Smith picks up the conversation,
you'll want all of us at the same time. We can go right to that tonight if you want. We can jump right in and get started. Forget about all this bullshit getting to know each other. But even if you take your time, we will end up together. We will all fuck you, he says, leaning over to kiss my mouth.
I want to collapse from that kiss. His hand is on my neck, his thumb feeling my pulse. And then he whispers in my mouth,
you put my collar back on. You want this. You know you want this.
He holds on to the gold choker even as he backs away, his fingers threaded underneath it, pressing against my neck. He holds on to me like I'm already his. We are all silent for a moment because the server comes asking about food. One of them orders for me, but I am stuck in my thoughts, my head a jumbled mess from their offer. How did I get here? Champagne is poured, and Smith is placing my hand on a fluted glass, lifting it to my lips. I drink, a long gulp as I work through what this means.
Have you ever had a threesome?
Brick asks. It takes me a second to realize he's speaking to me. I want to say no. I want to say it emphatically, loudly, loaded with self-righteous indignation. But I can't, because it's a lie, and they'd know it was a lie. They obviously see something in me that gives them permission to make me this offer. Maybe it's the fact that you agreed to Rochelle's plan, and maybe it's because you let Quinn fuck you, even though he thought you were Rochelle. Maybe it's because you've been down this road before. Yeah, it might be that. So I say, yes, because Quinn is right. Brick is right. I'm a dirty fucking whore.
Just like us, Brick says. We're all dirty here. Be dirty with us, Chella, Quinn says. I'm gonna be dirty with you no matter what. I'm counting the fucking minutes until Sunday night. But it gets so much better when you give in completely.
I take a deep, deep breath and then let it out in a long, controlled exhale. I need to think about it. It's a big decision for me. It's one thing, I say, gathering my courage. It's one thing to date three guys at the same time.
You do that often? Smith laughs. Jesus Christ, Chella, I really do love you now.
No, I say, not anymore. But it's another thing altogether to let you
fuck all your holes at the same time, Smith finishes. For fuck's sake, Smith,
Brick says, pounding a fist on the table.
Would you shut up and let her finish? Sorry, he laughs. I'm sorry.
But he doesn't look sorry. I need to think about it, I say, looking at Brick. He's the sensible one, I can tell. The boss of this place. He's running the show. Keeping Quinn's big personality in check. Keeping Smith's deviant side under wraps. I just want to go to the party and forget about it for a while. I don't even want dinner. I just want to have fun and come home and then sleep on it. Can I do that, please? With no more comments? They all look at each other, silent for once. And then Smith says,
It's just a peek, Chella. If you stay, it's just a peek into the forbidden. You can leave anytime you want. It can last one night, or one week, or one month, or forever.
He says the word forever, softly, almost hesitantly. It makes me look at him differently for a moment, like he's a person and not an asshole.
It's carnal and sensual and erotic, Chella, he continues in that same voice. That's all it is, a small trip into the dark.
A peek, I say, remembering our toast.
Just a peek, Quinn echoes. You don't even have to like us. You can just do it once and leave. Or you can keep the plural relationship going for a while. Try it out. Get to know us better. We're not bad guys. We just like to have some really sick sex.
I smile at his words. Smith was right the other night when he said I'd fall for Quinn first. I like him already. So what does that mean for the other two? I can see why Rochelle fell in love with Quinn. He's sweet. He's not overpowering like Brick, but he's still in control. And he's not demeaning like Smith, even though he says some of the same things. It's different coming from Quinn. It's fun, not dark.
Come on,
Brick says, pushing back in his chair so it makes a scraping sound on the floor.
Let's go to the party. Have some fun tonight. You can think about it later.
Smith and Quinn both stand as I do, all our chairs scraping across the floor together. I let Brick lead me downstairs and wait as he gets our coats. He helps me put mine on, and then takes my hand and leads me out to the car. When I get in, he slips in next to me, leaning forward to tell the driver the address of the party before making the blacked-out partition go up to give us privacy. He scoots close to me, puts his arm around me. His kiss is soft and slow, and my tongue responds. When he pulls back, I look him in the eyes. We smile together.
Did you ever just want love, Chella?
Huh? I ask.
Did you ever just want a guy to love you for you, Chella, and not your body? Did you ever want him to just hold you and kiss you, give you all the attention you crave with zero expectations?
I let out a small laugh. Those guys don't exist.
I'm that guy, he says. As number three, I'm that guy.
His hand finds its way under my dress, and he softly caresses my leg. His other hand is on my breast, squeezing lightly.
I will kiss you and touch you and talk to you. And at the end of the night, I have no expectations for sex. Didn't you ever want a guy to give you all those things and not want something in return?
God, that's the dream right there. Unconditional love.
If you stay and say no to the menage, that's what you'll have with me. I will shower you with gifts and affection and attention. I will buy you anything you want. I will take you places and give you new friends, a new life. I'll make your dream come true, Chella, whatever that dream may be, and I'll still be able to lick your pussy, he says, kissing my mouth again, and you can still suck my cock if you want. You don't have to go to bed filled with longing. There are so many ways to make our time fun without fucking.
But I can't ever have more, can I?
You can with Quinn, he says. He can give you what I can't, and more. He can be your boyfriend, if you want. 2 days out of the week, you can have the closest thing to perfect. He's got no real rules other than to know you, intimately. And Smith, just forget about him. Almost everyone does. He doesn't have to be a part of this if you don't want. Just cut him out. Tell me no, and it's done. He'll never be anything more than somebody in the shadows. You can have everything you need in a relationship, Chella, and you can have it right now, for as long as you want.
But I only get it one piece at a time. Is that it? Brick gives me a sad smile.
You don't have to think of it that way. Did it ever occur to you that there's no such thing as the perfect man, woman, relationship, that it's an illusion? People go looking for it like it's a thing. It's not, Chella. Love is not a thing. It's a state of being. And it's so unrealistic to expect one person to be love.
Is this why you guys do this? Because you know you'll never find the perfect woman? My question makes him chuckle softly.
We do it because we're men, and we want things we can't have. Doesn't everyone want things they can't have?
Yes, I agree reluctantly. I want so many things I can't have.
Just think it over and take your time. We're not in a rush.
He holds my hand after that. He talks about the snow, why we're getting much of it. He talks about tonight's party with people he knows from work. I want to ask about work because I have no idea what any of them do. But he's busy talking about tomorrow's party too. Then other things. His day tomorrow. The dress he wants me to wear. And when we get to the party down in the tech center,